God gets Moses through his insecurity by helping him to discover gifts that he had in his life. Every one of you have gifts in your life. Every single one of you are valuable to God. You're valuable to the people around you. You have to find out what you can't do and quit whining about what you can't do. Peter and John walked up to a man at the gate called Beautiful and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you." And that's what every one of us has to say. There's things I don't have, but that's not going to stop me, because there's things I do have. There's things I don't have, and maybe I wish I had them, but I'm not going to whine over that. I'm going to see what I do have and move into what God has planned for me for the things that I do have in my life. Every person in this room has gifts. Every person in this room has skills. Every person in this room has an anointing that is unique and different from every other person in this room. And God says you need to discover that. You need to feel good about it and feel good about who you are. It's so important that you like yourself. If you don't like yourself, you make it very difficult for anyone else to like you too. You have to start liking yourself. You are God's child. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what he said about you. Fearfully and wonderfully made. The next person is Paul. Paul is insecure because of physical limitations. And I don't know if you've thought about the Apostle Paul in this way or not, but he has a physical impairment that we're not told exactly what it is. And there's a lot of speculation. Some say it was blindness. I don't believe that, because he was healed of blindness. He went blind for 3 days, and then they prayed for him, and he was healed of blindness. So I don't think it was blindness. Some people think that that he had all kinds of, you know, deformities in his body. We don't know what they were, but what we do know is that he was a Pharisee before this happened. And so to be a Pharisee, he had to be a pretty healthy guy to stand up to all their rigid beliefs. So he was a well-known Pharisee before this time. He studied in the school of Gamaliel, which was one of the top schools in the land for him to study in. And so we think that it's something that happened to him, because he said, because of my many revelations, the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. Now let's look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. See, Paul went into the third heaven. He's the one that gave us the rapture revelation. Paul is the one that describes what other people have been trying to talk about for so long and actually gives us the details of the rapture, the trumpet sounding, all of that. So he said, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So he says, the Lord said he wants me to stay humble. So he's going to keep me in this condition because he's going to show me so many things. This is going to keep me humble and keep me from gloating and boasting. Now concerning this thing, look at verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. But every time I went to the Lord, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So here's the first thing I want you to see. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. He doesn't call it a thorn in his soul. He does not call it a thorn in his spirit. Some people say because it's the messenger of Satan to buffet me, it's just temptation, or it's just a bombardment against his mind. No, he could have said it's a thorn in my spirit. He could have said it's a thorn in my soul. He says it's a thorn in my flesh. The next thing he says about that is he calls it a weakness. And then he says, therefore, I most gladly will boast in my infirmities. Notice this, I will boast in my infirmities. So that's speaking to a physical infirmity, that the power of God may rest upon me. So Paul is telling you he has a physical problem. Not only do we see that, even though some people have speculated all kinds of things, he calls it an infirmity, he calls it a weakness, he calls it a thorn in his flesh, and then his traveling companion is a medical doctor. Luke, the same guy who writes the book of Luke in the Bible, is Paul's traveling companion because he stays with him because of this physical condition. Now, we're talking about the guy who wrote most of the New Testament with a physical problem. And there are people that try to convince people that if they have a physical problem, it's because they're not spiritual enough. Well, tell that to the Apostle Paul. That was who could they could tear handkerchiefs off of him and parts of his apron and the sick be healed, but yet he was walking around with a physical issue, but the power of God was still resting in him. So Paul writes to all of those who have been called of God in broken vessels or weaker vessels. He writes to all of those who are struggling with insecurity, because how can I pray for people when I'm not even healed myself? How can I be laying my hands on others when I'm not healed, when I'm not even healed myself? And so Paul actually writes to people that have some kind of physical impairment. It could be blindness, it could be deafness, it could be crippled in your legs, it could be a heart condition, it could be diabetes, it could be brokenness, it could be a missing limb. There's no limit to what it can be. But none of that stops God from using you as a powerful anointed vessel. And you can be just as powerful as anybody else, even though you have a physical impairment. Listen to what he says. But we have this treasure. This is 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I love how the NIV says it. It calls it jars of clay. There's a singing group that called themselves that. We have this treasure in jars of clay, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Lord, if I can lay a broken hand on another broken body and you heal them, they're going to know it was you, not me. Lord, if I'm a blind man and I pray for a blind man that gets healed, they're going to know that it wasn't my perfection that brought the healing. It was the power of God in my imperfection that brought the healing, because in my weakness, you are still strong. Even in my weakness, you are strong. And some people some people try to make people feel like some type of second-class citizen if they're doing ministry in a broken body. But I'm telling you, some of the greatest ministers in the world that have done the most profound miracles in the world have done it through a life of brokenness, that the glory of God may be seen in him and not in them. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. He continues to write. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could tell everyone in this room that you'll never die, but I can't tell anyone that. I can't tell anyone that. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ may be manifested in our body. You know what he's saying there? Life can be manifested in a dying body. A body that is sick, a body that is broken, can still bring life to everything around it. He said, oh, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. So it's not without purpose. It's not without cause if I know him more. How many of you know that you have a different relationship with God when you're broken? You have a closer relationship with God when you need him, desperately need him and go after him because you don't feel whole, and you need him to make up the difference in the parts of your life that have been broken by life. I've told you a few stories like this before, but my father was a crippled man. My father, he's still a crippled man. He's turning 84 this month, and my dad had polio when he was 2 years old. So he has never walked since he was two. He has no power in his legs. So his legs are just skinny little, you know, legs without a lot of muscle in them. So they can't support him. So he, as a little boy, he got straight leg braces because that's the only kind they had then. So he swung himself. Even to first grade, he was swinging himself with straight leg braces. And then later on, they gave him the braces that would collapse at the knee, and he could actually bend his knees for the first time in all those years. That was after he was an adult. And my dad felt so insecure when the Lord called him to preach, because he said, how can I preach? Here I am, I'm broken in my body, and you're asking me to lay my hands upon other people to be their pastor. And you're asking me to lay my hands upon other people's head and pray for their healing when I don't have mine. I remember when I was a little boy one time, my dad was putting God to the test, and he went into a church. It was a Sunday night. He took off his braces, and he said, I'm not leaving this church till I'm healed. And we sat there all night long and all the next day. We had been at the church for probably 36 hours. And then finally, he finally concluded, well, maybe this is how God wants to use me. Because he was so determined that he was going to get healed. And there was enough saints standing around praying for him. And he took his braces off, and he was determined he was going to get up and walk out of that church for the glory of God. And the Lord says, no, you think I can't use you broken, but I can. You think that I can't use you because you can't run like other people. You're going to have plenty of time to run in the millennial reign, and you're going to have plenty of time to run in eternity. But right now, I need to show the manifest power of God through you this way. And I can't tell you how many people have been saved and come to the Lord. And it really hit home for me when a little boy was playing around our church one time in Dallas, Georgia, and a little boy, as a matter of fact, his dad lives in Chattanooga now. Herschel Wright is his name, and Clay knows who this guy is. His son was playing on the church property, fell down the steps, and broke his arm. Didn't just break it, the bone was sticking out. It was one of those breaks that was so bad that the bone had already poked through the skin. And before they took him to the emergency room, my dad and a couple of other people laid their hands on him and prayed for him. And I'm a kid, and I remember seeing this. I'm probably about 12 years old at the time, and I watched the Lord fuse that little boy's bones back together and his skin come back together. And there was no scar, there was nothing. It was like nothing had ever happened. And it was a miracle that I could never forget in all my life. And God used a crippled man to pray that prayer. God used a man that had broken legs to pray for a broken arm, and God healed a broken arm so that the glory of God was not in the man, but the glory of God was in the power of God. Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word. There's been too many people with spiritual gifts that tried to monopolize on those gifts and sell them. There's been too many people that merchandised God's anointing and merchandised those gifts and made a big deal out of themselves and made it look like the gift was in them. I want to tell you, the gift has never been in them. The gift has always been in Him, and He is the one. It is the faith of other people that come to those meetings and trust God for healing that is why those people are getting healed, just like Jesus said over and over and over, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. But don't ever discount the fact that someone in a wheelchair cannot raise you out of a wheelchair. And don't discount the fact that someone who's deaf can't pray for you and God calls your ears to be unstopped. And don't discount the fact that someone who is blind can't lay their hands upon you by the power of the Holy Spirit and you can receive your sight, because the power is not in the hand and the power is not in the body. The power is in the Holy Spirit, who works through the conduit of people of faith who believe and trust the Lord. Amen, amen. I want to show you a picture of a man that had a great ministry and won thousands to the Lord. This man's name is James Poe Jackson. This is his wife, Nellie. This is how he preached. He was completely paralyzed from the waist down. The Lord called him to preach, and they traveled in an ambulance, a converted ambulance. And when they pulled up to the church, they would have to pull out the stretcher and wheel him in the church on a stretcher. He preached his entire ministry, 35 years, preached his entire ministry on a stretcher. Now, I don't know how many people can do that. I don't know anyone else that's ever done it the way he did it. And his wife drove that ambulance, took care of him, dressed him, and got him in there, and he had a pillow. And he would be preaching, laying on that cot. He'd be preaching and he would throw that pillow and people would catch that pillow and get healed. He couldn't get to them. And it was the most amazing thing. He would throw that pillow and people would grab that pillow. Some of them would take off running. Some would collapse on the floor. And he would just throw that pillow. And the obituary of Nellie, his wife, tells a beautiful story. You can look it up. That's where I actually found this picture from, is when she passed, from her obituary. And she tells a story about how many thousands of people came to the Lord in 30-some years of ministry in the U.S. and Canada because some preachers invited a broken man in a stretcher and his wife, who was serving him with all of her heart. How many of you would want an assignment like that from the Lord? I'm not saying this to make anybody feel bad, but if that man can do that for all of those years, you can witness to the waitress. I promise you that. If he can do that for all those years, it's nothing for us to say Jesus loves you to the postman. It's nothing for us to tell the girl behind the register at Walmart that we're going to have a prayer for her. Does she have a prayer request for us to pray? No, if that man can do what he did for all those years and win thousands, how much more should able-bodied people feel with the power of the Holy Ghost, being able to go out and witness and share the good news with people around us? This is a man who was broken, but the Lord used him. Let's continue reading. Therefore, do not lose heart. This is still the Apostle Paul writing about these treasures in earthen vessels. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. I want to say that again slowly. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far exceedingly eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Though your outward man is perishing, your spirit man can be renewed day by day by day. Don't you ever shy away from a broken vessel that wants to lay hands upon you. They may be a treasure and a jar of clay, but that might be the moment of your miracle when God lays his hands upon you and gives you everything that you've been asking him for. If you believe that, give the Lord praise in his house. Amen. Let me finish reading this, and then I'm going to move on to the final one. For we know that our eternal house, this tent, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation. In other words, I don't want to be in this body, Lord. My desire is to be in a whole body, and I'm groaning for that. But he said, but he has prepared for us this very thing. And he gives us the Holy Spirit as the guarantee. That's the guarantee. Lord, I'm broken. That's all right. The Holy Spirit will make up for all of that. You still pray a prayer, and God's going to heal them. You can still, in a broken body, you can still pray a prayer, and God will heal them. Amen. The outward man is perishing. Dr. Marion Spellman, who's now with the Lord, was one of the most powerful women speakers I've ever heard. I heard her tell a story one time how she was going to visit a church mother who was dying, and she was laying on the bed about to die. She went in there feeling sorry for her, wondering how she was going to encourage her, because this was a mother of the faith who the whole church leaned upon her. And Sister Spellman says that she walked in there, Dr. Spellman walked in the room to encourage this old church mother, and she said, before I could get there, she said, honey, come here. I knew you were coming. Let me bless you. And she said, I walked in there to pray for her because her body was dying. And she said that lady that had one foot in heaven and one foot on earth, she said, she laid her hands upon me and began to prophesy over me. And the power of God that came out of her charged, she said, it supercharged my body. She said, I felt like electricity was running through my body. Here she is, frail and can barely speak, but the power of God inside of her is stronger than it's ever been, because it did not depend upon the body. It depended upon the Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee that was inside of her. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves or comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. That's a whole lot of themselves and myself, right? What he's saying is this: don't compare yourself to other people. That's all he's really saying. Why are you comparing yourself to other people? We, however, will not boast beyond the measure. Verse 13, we will not boast beyond the measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God has appointed us, a sphere that includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in another man's labors, but having hope that is in your faith, that as your faith increases, we will be greatly enlarged in our sphere. Okay, let me explain all this to you. Jesus said, or Paul is writing and saying, why are you comparing yourself to other people? First of all, every time you do that, you're comparing your weaknesses to their strengths. You're comparing yourself to something they can do well that you can't do. Why don't you compare? You know, that's not a real comparison anyway. But the Lord says, I've made you different from everybody else. If you're trying to be everybody else, who's going to be you? Because you're the only person with those fingerprints. You're the only person with those footprints. You're the only person. I've numbered the hairs of your head. You've got a unique DNA, unique giftings, unique cultures. You've got things about you that nobody in the world will ever have. You are one of a kind. And you are amazing because there is nothing that can compare to you. When God sees you, he sees you in a way that nobody else could ever compare. So God says, why do you measure yourself against other people? And particularly this, why are you measuring your weaknesses against their strengths? That's unfair to start with. You're going to lose immediately because that's going to make you more insecure. Because I promise you, for every person that you think can do something better than you, I promise you, you can do something better than them. You can. There's uniqueness in you that's different from everybody else. So Paul says, why are you comparing yourself? Instead, why don't you focus on the sphere of influence that God has given to you? So he's telling them, I know we could go out and do other things, but I want to be faithful to the sphere that God has given me, this little circle of influence. Do you know that everyone in this room has influence? You have influence over people that would never listen to me, but they'll listen to you. Every one of you have people that wouldn't listen to anybody, but they will listen to you. You have influence over other people in the world. And the Lord says, I want you to focus on your sphere of influence. It may not be the biggest sphere in the world, but little is much when God is in it. This is what Paul said. I believe that if I'm faithful to this small group of ministers, that I will increase your faith and you will go out and minister. And then my sphere gets bigger. Because now I have sons and daughters out there doing the work of the Lord. So he's saying that if you invest in those that God has given to you, that your increase, your power will become greater by those that you have invested in. So he's saying that we shouldn't compare ourselves to others.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.